Sometimes I'm kind of proud of that. There are certain aspects of ourselves that we feel gives us credibility. When we're younger, we're kind of proud of how fast we can run, how much we can lift. If we're guys, I don't know that that's what you girls do. Sometimes we pride ourselves in how good looking we think we are. Then, as we get older, we still brag about what we used to could do, how big our investments are, or our accomplishments that we have accomplished. And the truth is, that list goes on and on. And we tend to identify with these things as who we are, the accomplishments, our vocation, the things we have, the things that surround us in our close proximity. We work hard to attain these things and keep them, and are insulted when someone doesn't give the same value to them as we do. Whether you want to admit it or not, this is where we live. So here in Philippians chapter 3, Paul addresses the issue. We're going to read verses 3 through 10. He says in verse 3, "For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. All of this, why?" And he answers that in verse 10. "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word.
Yes.
Lord, you have brought us here tonight to this passage. And so I pray that you would speak to us through your word, by your Holy Spirit, and help us to see the things you want us to see in ourselves. Lord, help us to make correction. Help us to repent and draw closer to you. Help me to say the things I should. And I thank you for that. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Paul had extremely high credentials. He named some of them, not all of them. He wasn't only a Jew, but he was a leader in the synagogue. That's what Pharisees did. They were leaders in the synagogue. They were typically wealthy. They were anywhere from middle class to high income earners. The Pharisees were. In fact, they viewed their success as a blessing from God, which led them to gain even more financial success with the thought in mind that that would bring them even closer to God. That's certainly not true. He was extremely devoted to the Mosaic law. In fact, he was blameless in keeping it. And I think that he was, in his mind, before salvation, was blameless. But if you follow the Ten Commandments, there were some things in there that he was probably not loving his brother as he should, or loving God like he should. But he was sure trying to be blameless. Not only was he a Israelite of high standing, but he was also a Roman. He said that in Acts 16, verse 37, when he was beaten and put in prison, and it come time for them to turn him loose, and he said, "Let them come get me, because they beat me without giving me a trial, and I'm a Roman." And so they did. They come in there and requested that he leave. So he was a Roman. So not only was he respected in the world's eyes, but also in the religious circles of his day. But after that day on the road to Damascus, he came to realize that all of those credentials did for him was inflate his pride. And they really had no eternal value.
True.
Those claims to fame didn't help him draw people to Jesus. If anything, it hindered it. The things that you and I pride ourselves in can very well be the things that are holding us up from a deep and meaningful relationship with Jesus.
That's true.
Paul said, "What things were gain to me, I counted loss for Christ." Think about that for just a minute. Think about your accomplishments that you're proud of. Think about the money that you may have in the bank. Some of you. That's not me. That may not be you. Think about the knowledge that you have, that you've worked on your entire life to attain, that you tend to take pride in. The vehicle you drive, the house you live in, the things that we pride ourselves in, those are the things Paul was saying, you know what? These things are not helping me to be more like Jesus. They're not helping me to point people to Jesus. If anything, they're hindering that.
Yeah.
He grew up as an Israelite. Paul did, one of God's chosen people. He was extremely devoted to the law as he interpreted it and was quite accomplished in his mission to cause many to follow the law as he did, yet he resolved that none of that was helping him. What things carry high value to you in your life? Is it your strength? Us men, we pride ourselves in what we can lift. Today, I pride myself in who I can get to lift it for me. It's still pride, though. Sometimes we pride ourselves in all kinds of different things. I've already talked about some of these things. Our job, sometimes even our training or our abilities. These things have no eternal value. Verse 8, look again here at verse 8. Paul says, yea, doubtless, in other words, without a doubt, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Paul lost it all. Remember, he was wealthy. Now he's homeless. He used to have a four-wheel drive donkey. Now he walks everywhere. He used to have a job that carried a lot of respect by all people. Now he just builds tents, and that's only just so that he can buy food. He lost it all. But to him, it was gain.
That's right.
I think this probably happened over a period of time. I don't think within the first 3 days of his walk with Jesus that he lost it all. I think it happened over a period of time. Paul had a goal that he locked his eyes on, like a bulldog locks onto a deer or a wild hog. And with Paul, I think it became the driving force to push him to preach the word all across the known world, no matter what it costs. I do want to be clear that I'm not saying that we need to go and sell our house, our vehicles, and all of our stuff, give our money away, and start preaching on the street corners. That's not what I'm saying. God has a place for you and I to do what we do for His honor and glory, and to shine for Him, and to be a witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ where we are. And that is sometimes at our job. In fact, I believe we should always be a shining light at our job.
Yes.
At the stores that we go to.
Yes.
To our neighbors that we live next to. So I'm not saying that we need to get rid of all of it so that we can draw closer to Jesus. That's not the case. There were many, if you look it up in Scripture, there were many godly Christians who had houses, who had good jobs, who had high levels of income. Remember, Abraham was probably one of the wealthiest men of his day, but also was probably the closest one to God in his day at the same time. It's not money that's the problem. It's the love of it that is.
Right.
So what do we need to do? What should we seriously consider in order to have the correct biblical mindset concerning the material things that we have, the knowledge we have, the position that we have? What do we need to do to have the right biblical mindset about all of that so that we can have a deeper relationship with Jesus? First of all, pride has no place in God's kingdom.
Amen.
None. Remember, that's why Satan was kicked out of heaven. Because of pride. Pride has no place in God's kingdom.
Right.
We can't be serving God and be effective and have a problem with our pride at the same time. It doesn't work. Pride is going to draw a wedge between us and Him. But it's also going to draw a wedge between us and the purpose He has us here for. Deuteronomy, if you want to turn there, Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17. Israel, if you have read through the Bible a few times, or at least studied Israel's journey, you'll know that they had a roller coaster ride of spirituality in their trust in God and their obedience to Him. And here in verse 17, the Bible says, "And thou say in thine heart, My power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day." Israel got to thinking that they had done some great thing without God's help. And here they were reminded that they didn't get there because of their own power. It was only because God helped them. The truth is, you and I can't do anything without His help. Good or bad. He always deserves the glory.
Amen.
When you and I begin to start tooting our horn over something that we've done or accomplished, we're acting like the devil. That's what He did. That's what He does. That's His pride. And so when we are being proud of the things that we have done or accomplished and bragging about it, that means that we're trying to get the glory that God deserves.
Yeah.
Verse 17 says that we thought we got this done in our own power. No, that's not the case. Mm-hmm. Pride has no place in God's kingdom. Everything you and I have came from God.
Amen.
Secondly, in order to know Jesus and have the wisdom that Solomon talks about in Proverbs chapter 2, we have to seek Him like we're seeking after hid treasure. How many of you have lost some money before? When you lost it and realized that you lost it, you probably just said, "Huh, no big deal." No. You probably scrambled to get up and ran to wherever you thought that you lost it and started ripping things apart until you could find it, making phone calls, doing whatever you have to do. Right? And it was only $20. Maybe more. But you sought after that like it was important. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 2 that if we want to know God, that's how we're going to have to seek after Him. Have you ever really pursued something or someone like that? Before Jeanette and I got married, I sure pursued her like that. I'd get off of work. I wouldn't even take time to go home, get a shower, and change my clothes. I wasted no time. I went straight over there almost every day and just to spend some time with her. And I thought for sure she would see the big sacrifice I was making and doing all that. Later I found out I should have went home and got a shower and changed my clothes. But I was just seeking her like hidden treasure. Right?
Right.
I didn't go playing after work. I didn't go doing other things. I made a beeline for, what was the name of that road? Broad Oak Drive?
Broadleaf.
Y'all lived there. Yeah. And I didn't feel like there was anything that was nearly as important. So as soon as I got off work, I'm sure I even struggled at work, especially the last hour. Probably very unproductive. Because I was seeking someone like it was a hidden treasure. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 2, if you want to find the wisdom of God, that's how you're going to have to seek after it.
Right.
So for us to spend just a few minutes in the morning reading through five verses so that we can check that off the box, that's not seeking God like it was hidden treasure or a lost diamond ring. And we're not going to find it. When I was seeking Jeanette, all my free time involved her. So my question to you is, what do you spend your free time doing? If you really think about it, we don't have any free time. It's all God's.
That's right.
He loans it to us. He wants us to use it wisely, seeking Him. What do you spend your free time doing? I hope that your prayer time and your Bible study time is not just something that you just throw in on the way to work. But that it's something that is of high value. Kind of like that $200 that you misplaced or lost. You know, Paul, he didn't really lose anything.
Amen.
He gave it up. He didn't lose anything to know Jesus. He willingly forfeited it because he came to the realization at some point, these things don't have any value. In fact, they're taking away from those that do. So my question to you is, what are you willing to trade off in order to seek Jesus like hidden treasure? What is it in your life that doesn't have any real eternal value that you give high credit to? Philippians chapter 3, I'm going to read one verse and I'm done. Verse 10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. This was Paul's top priority. This was what drove him. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. He knew that he needed to suffer. He knew that he would eventually die. Most likely because of his faith in Jesus. And he did. But that was his goal, to know Jesus. That ought to be ours. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for bringing us to this passage tonight. And Lord, I know that I've not
sought after you like I should. And so I pray that you would forgive me for that and help me to put much higher importance on the time I spend with you seeking your face. Lord, help me to have a better knowledge and understanding of you, a closer walk with you. Lord, help everything that I do to have more eternal value. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and turn to 488. 488.